engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
And welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, smellthetruth.com. With me, as always, our host, Dr. David Berman. I am Rob, the coach, Lotito. Hanging with Pastor Dave today, the ruling in the Supreme Court is shaking the land, and Pastor, what the proverbial line is drawn in the dirt. What do we do here?
Yeah, the line is drawn in the sand. I mean, you're on one side or the other. You know, this is, as you said, shaking the nation because it's shaken to its core foundation concerning two issues, Coach. One, the moral issue. The issue of whether or not homosexuality is morally acceptable or not. And before Almighty God in His Word, it is absolutely not acceptable at all. It is an unacceptable behavior, along with many other sinful behaviors. That's the first issue. But the second issue that I think that many American people don't understand is the legal issue. What they have done, the Supreme Court, is codified in law as natural law that homosexuals have the natural law right to be married and that there's no difference between a homosexual marriage and a regular, normal marriage between a man and a woman. And what they've also codified in law is that you cannot discriminate against homosexuals for their behavior, thereby codifying in law that a homosexual is just has the same classification as any other race. Now, of course, we know that homosexuals are not a race, but they're a behavior. They're acting on a behavior. And once you start to codify in law that someone's behavior is on par with their race, you've brought this into a situation where you're forcing the citizenry, the Christian people who do not believe in this and other religions who do not believe in this, forcing us to accept this and forcing Christian people in their everyday lives to go against their most sacred faith, and that is a violation of the First Amendment amongst a number of amendments in the Constitution. It's a violation of the very fabric and principles of the nation. We don't have any more right to freedom of association or freedom of speech, freedom of our religion, freedom to practice our religion. If I can force you, Coach, if I can force you to partake in something that is absolutely against your religion and has been for 3,500 years, 2,000 years as Christian and a Judeo-Christian ethic for 3,500 years. If I can force you to do that, I have trampled on the most sacred rights you have, the First Amendment. And that's what they've done. So at church, at my church, Christian Life Fellowship, I am the senior pastor of in New Hampshire. I addressed the issues of this right after and also on the 4th of July celebration, which was the 5th this year, what we call it our Patriotic Sunday, I gave a strong sermon and teaching on some founding principles of the nation and what we are. We're not a democracy. We're a representative constitutional republic. And the sermon, I think, speaks for itself. It's bold, and I believe that every pastor in America should preach like that because we are living in a day where the church leadership, frankly, has turned into a bunch of mushy wimps.
So what we're about to listen to here, folks, is a sermon that was done actually at the church at a service. It's called Patriotic Sunday, July 5th of this year, right after the Supreme Court ruling. Pastor Dave gave a strong sermon. So we're going to listen to that, and then we'll come back in and give you some more information. This is Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. And now, here is Pastor Dave on July 5th of this year.
As I do every year at the Patriotic Sunday service, as I want to talk about the founding of the nation, I think it's extremely important for us to understand the principles of liberty and the principles of the founding of the nation. We're living in very tumultuous times, are we not? How many of you know that there's a great divide in the country? You all know that? I mean, there's no way around it. We can pretend that there is unity in the country, but there is not. And this reminds me, as I read in history, it reminds me actually of the founding of the nation, where there was great discussion about the fans of liberty. And in the churches,
before the Revolution, the churches were fanning the flame of the principles of liberty. I'm going to tell you right now, without the churches, there would never have been an American Revolution. There never would have been. It was in the churches that they said that the ways in which England is behaving is not right, it's not okay, and we have certain liberties that are giving us by God. Now, there are some basic forms of government. I'm not going to go over all of them with you, but I want you to understand the basic forms of government, why ours is different. We do not live in a pure democracy, nor do we want to live in a pure democracy, because a pure democracy is where the majority decides and the minority has no rights. When I say minority, I'm not talking about minority race, although I don't really understand race anyway, because we're all human beings. But the minority would be people who have a different opinion. So the majority rules, and then the minority is run over by the mob rule. We are not a democracy. And trust me, you do not want to be a democracy. We're not supposed to be a dictatorship, although if we can discuss whether we are or not now. A dictatorship is where one man rules. Communism or hard socialism, obviously, is where the government owns everything, is the main provider of benefits and owns all the property and tells you what you can and cannot do, where you're going to work or not work. These types of governments. You have fascism, which is a melding or a marriage between big business and the country's political establishment, in which they do each other's bidding. And fascist rule, we know, is this kind of rule where the state tells you everything. It's sort of a very akin to a Marxist or a socialist, except it's just sort of a blending together of the will of government and big business together and running everybody. Then we have what we are supposed to have, which is a constitutional representative republic. And a constitutional representative republic is much different than a democracy. And the reason for that is because in a constitutional representative republic, there are certain rights in a constitution. And whether the majority wants to do something or not, if it is against the constitutional principles, the people who are running the country have sworn to defend the country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. In which we can't have people say, well, I think it's a good idea to do this. Whether you think it's a good idea or not, it's not the criteria for whether or not you do it. The question is it constitutional? Because somebody else might have another idea that they think is better than yours, which goes against you, which is not constitutional. And if you lose your principles, then nobody is free. Right. And because the leftist progressives in this country, and if you're one of them, I hope you get converted today. Because the leftist progressives in the country have said, we want our way no matter what. And they know that there's no way they could legislatively get their way. They have circumvented the Constitution and they have gone with the courts to rule you like they are kings. There is a process, by the way, for changing the Constitution. It's called the amendment process. And so our founders left us with that. It's a very slow process on purpose because our founders did not want us to have some sort of mob mentality that changes a principle. But they did leave room for the fact that in the future, that things may change or you may have to adjust the Constitution. And the way you do that is through the amendment process. But that takes a long time. It is very difficult to pass those amendments by design. And so knowing that there's no way they're going to pass those amendments, they say, we don't care about the Constitution. So they take the Constitution out, and they use it where they want to, and where they don't like what it says, they just change it, like people do with the Bible. Now, I wrote an article many years ago when I saw this country going the way it is, and the title of the article is, As Goes the Bible, So Goes the Constitution. And when in that, I explained that as we lose our principles of liberty, which we get from Almighty God, to thee I sang, my country 'tis of thee. As we lose those founding principles, we lose our way and our anchor, and our country begins built on sand. And rather than it being the rule of law, it is the rule of men. Our founders set in motion our constitutional representative government because they had certain principles they knew were necessary for freedom, and here are a few of those. Those who govern do so by the consent of the governed. Not by trickery, election fraud. There's to be three branches of government set as checks and balances against tyrannical development in any one branch. State sovereignty in all things, not specifically spelled out, but as a responsibility of the federal government. That's the 10th Amendment. So in other words, the only thing, according to the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, that the federal government is allowed to do is that which this Constitution specifically says it's allowed to do. It is not allowed to be involved with education at all because the Constitution does not give them the right to be involved with that. At all. None. No grants. No loans. Nothing. And people who have no economic understanding, they say things to me all the time. Pastor, don't you want people to have an education? Yes, that's why I want the federal government to shut up and get out. Amen. Good Lord. People don't understand economics. So they say, well, the government's going to give me a grant. And a lot of young people go, oh, I'm going to get a grant. Don't you realize that your education is more expensive because they're giving you the grant? Don't you realize when you artificially infuse capital, you create this artificial raise or inflation? Young people, I mean no disrespect, but some of you haven't been around a while. You don't understand this. And they use you. Freedom of political and religious speech is the foundation and cornerstone of our understanding of what government is supposed to be as it relates to people. That we have every right to say anything we want to say at all, except slander somebody, because that would be something that is, you're lying about somebody, slandering them, but we can say any political or religious speech we want. And there are people who say to me, Pastor, you can't say certain things in church because you're from the pulpit and you know you're in a tax exempt thing. First of all, let me make that clear to you. The church is not tax exempt. The church is tax immune. The government has no right to tax the church because we are a sovereign entity. If they tax the church, they put us under their code. We're not under their code. We don't answer to them. And if they violate the principles of liberty by trying to put us under their tax code, they can do it, but they will be violating all the authority of Almighty God. And if they do it, they can take it. And I wanted to say something else after that, and I won't. But I thought it. Because the gospel is not for sale. The word of God is not for sale, and our liberty is not for sale.
You are listening to Smell the Truth Radio, an interesting sermon by Dr. David Berman, done on July 5th this year, called Patriotic Sunday. We'll have more with Dr. Berman's sermon in just a moment.
We are living in troubled times for young people, with a 35% out-of-wedlock birth rate for whites, 52% for Hispanics, and an even higher rate of 72% for African Americans, there is certainly a fatherless crisis in America. Statistics show incarceration rates for young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fatherless homes are 15 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. Girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers. Isn't it time to go back to the founding principles of this once great nation? Isn't it time to stop kicking against God's obvious wisdom found in the Bible and raise families as God intended? The evidence is overwhelming. Fatherlessness is destroying our nation. Come back to the Bible. Find a Bible-preaching, believing church. Come back to what works. It's time for men to be responsible and to lead their families to Jesus. This message is brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Today's liberal logic moment. This liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Dr. Berman, today's liberal logic moment comes out of the courts in Oregon. Has your wife ever called you sweetcake?
No, she has not. And if she did, I would never tell you that anyway.
Okay, right? So we're talking about a young couple that owns their own bakery. They took their own money, Pastor, and bought a bakery, opened it up and built it, and then decided not to bake a cake for someone.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that they actually took their own money.
Capitalism.
And they actually invested and started a business. Is that what you're telling me?
Built it up from nothing.
Okay.
And they call it sweet cakes.
And sweet cakes. They're making some money. They're making a living.
Make a living.
This is in a free country, right?
They're not rich.
Okay, go ahead.
Regular couple. They happen to be Christians.
Yeah.
And
hold on, rewind. They happen to be what?
Christians, born again believers.
Christians.
Yeah,
I see. Go ahead.
So sweet cakes decided that I guess they weren't going to bake a cake for someone, and they got sued. And then the state said they couldn't even. Not only did they have to pay some money, but they also couldn't talk about it.
Yes, because if with liberal logic, you do what we tell you to do, and you shut your mouth and don't speak out against them.
Crazy
stuff. So here we have a Christian couple that has a business, and in their personal First Amendment right, which is in the Constitution, the right to the free exercise of their religion, this is an individual right. The Bill of Rights are individual rights. The Constitution rights are individual rights. In this, they say, listen, we don't want to bake a cake for your same-sex wedding because this is against our religion. Here's another thing, too. They didn't pull this out of the hat yesterday and go, oh, you know what? We just want to now make up a new religion and say we don't want to bake a cake for them. This is the tried and true for 2,000 years of Christianity, 3,500 years altogether about for the Judeo and Christian ethic, and the idea that we will not be involved with promoting or anything that has to do with a homosexual so-called wedding is our religious right. And so the statists come at them with $130,000 or $135,000 fine, mm-hmm. and then they tell them, you can't even speak about this, further violating their First Amendment freedom of speech. They violate their freedom of speech, their freedom to free exercise of their religion, and they violate the most core, basic sense of who we are as Americans in our founding, and that's the right to freedom. They don't have a right to conscience, their religion, or their speech, because the liberals... they say that this is not okay. They're crying.
Nah,
the devastation of not making a cake for you. Go somewhere else and get your stupid cake made.
How does the courts get away with that?
Well, it's the government that put the fine on them. It hasn't, and from my understanding, is it hasn't actually gone to the court yet. But it's the agency or the of the government that has placed this fine on them as for discriminating. And so this is what we're come to now. So it's now discrimination for me to say I don't want to partake in something that's against my religion. That's part. So let me ask you this question, Coach. You know, in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People,
mm-hmm.
they have a leadership, and their leader is black.
Right.
Do they have white leaders?
I would not think so.
No, they're not in the very head, because right. it's an association of colored people, so they have a black leader. How about the National Hispanic Association or Asian Americans or whatever? Do they have like a German white guy there?
No.
Oh, that is discrimination.
Yeah.
That is discrimination based on your race. Do either you, Coach, or me have a problem with that? No. If you have a National Jewish Association, that would be probably run by a Jewish guy. Do you have a problem with that, Coach?
I do not.
I don't either. And so now we're being told that it's discriminatory to say, I don't want to partake in something that is against, clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, against my religion, and then I can't even talk about it. That is tyranny. Liberal logic. Tyranny.
Liberal logic moment when another terrible tragedy situation. Stand up, folks. Wake up. Smell the truth.
SmellTheTruth.com.
We now return to Dr. David Berman's message, Patriotic Sunday, recorded this year on July 5th.
They also put very clear that we have a right to bear arms in defense of liberty. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. Have you heard them say that? Oh, well, we're not trying to take away your hunting. We know you're not trying to take away our hunting, although you are, but
What you're really trying to take away is our right to defend ourselves against you. That's what they want to do. Now, I know I may offend some people. And I know this is bold, and I don't know how many pastors are going to do something like this from the pulpit on television in front of people that may, some people you're visiting may get upset by this. But you see, this is a gun. You should never leave home without it in days in which we're living in. I believe in defense. And what's going on in this country, I will not, as a shepherd of this congregation, not have some way to defend the sheep in this congregation. And I think every pastor ought to have one. Now, if that offends you, it was not my intention. But so be it. The days of having church in which people go, let's take a little survey and see what offends somebody and what doesn't, and let's not preach this certain scripture because that's going to cause somebody to be upset and leave. Pastor, you know, you, what are you going to do if everybody leaves your church? Well, then I'll just go preach somewhere else. When I planted a church, I was preaching to chairs, literally. Sometimes I go to do a Bible study and nobody show up. I'll do it anyway. The line has been drawn in the sand. When the federal government can say to you as a religious person who has held on to the sacred beliefs of the scripture that marriage is between man and woman, and tell you that you must participate, if you have a business, in a gay marriage, quote-unquote, under penalty of law, or you will lose your business, suffer financial ruin, under the penalty of government, when they do that, that is the definition of tyranny. We were going to sing a song this morning that we usually sing. Well, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. But I can't sing that. I can't sing it. I can sing God Bless America. I'm asking God to bless America with repentance. To help us understand again that we're a nation that was formed by people who knew God. Were we perfect? No. Do we make mistakes? Of course. Who didn't? But they tell us, no, God has nothing to do with this country, and our founders wanted nothing to do with him. And yet, in the Declaration of Independence, God is mentioned four times. The law of nature and nature's God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them the right to life. Not to abortion, right. To life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which in this context meant the pursuit of personal property. And then it says, another mention, we therefore, as representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. They're not appealing as atheists. Right. Appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. Look what it says as well in the Declaration of Independence. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Our desire as a nation was to be free from the idea of the divine right of kings, where the king was the god of his country. He had the divine right to say, yes, you can have this. No, you can't. These nobles can have this property. I'm going to decide to take away your property and give it to you because I said so, because I have a divine right. And our founder said, no, no, no. And the cry of the American Revolution, does anybody know what it was? Do you know what it was? It was no king but government. No. It was let me worship the federal government. No. It was let me get some food stamps. No. If I just offend you, it's not my intention. I'd like you to be able to make money so you don't need the food stamps. Amen? Amen. I'd like the economy to be set free. The cry of the revolution was, No king but Jesus. So we'll have a government which is limited by the Constitution, and each sovereign state, had this agreement in the Constitution under these principles that the federal government can only do this. And the federal government and many state governments have been using the Constitution as toilet paper. People say, Pastor, you're never going to build the church preaching the way you do. I've heard that my whole life. My whole ministry, I've heard that. People will never listen to you if you preach the way you do. People are going to scorn you. They're going to say things against you. They're going to lie about you. I said, well, isn't that what Jesus said was going to happen?
Well, I really hate to leave you hanging there with part one of what you've been listening to. Patriotic Sunday with Dr. David Berman really captures the vision of Smell the Truth Radio. What we stand for, truth in Jesus, standing for liberty in our country. Even despite opposition, Pastor Dave talked about right there at the end of part one of this presentation, he's going to draw a line in the sand and he's going to take the criticism and we're going to stand for truth. We want to continue to educate you. We want you to follow us also on Twitter at Smell Truth. Like us on Facebook at our Facebook page, Smell the Truth Radio. And smellthetruth.com for more information. If you want to hear more about this broadcast or other broadcasts that we may have, Dr. David Berman's articles and books are available also. If you want to donate to us or just support or make a comment, write us today at Smell the Truth Radio, 116 Main Street in Marlboro, New Hampshire, 03455. That's 116 Main Street in Marlboro, New Hampshire, 03455. As we close this today's episode, we want to thank you and we want to encourage you to tell a friend about Smell the Truth Radio through smellthetruth.com. Listen next time for part two of Dr. David Berman's Patriotic Sunday message. This is Rob Lutito, the coach, saying goodbye for Dr. David Berman today.
SmellTheTruth.com